left off in, we left off, is that better? Yeah, that's a little bit better. All right, we left off in when did we leave off in? Okay, 26. Yeah, 25, 26. All right, we'll go ahead and pray and we'll get into the lesson. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your words and thank you again, Lord, for a place to come and gather so we can study them and sing songs about you, worship you, Lord. And now we pray that our eyes and our ears and our hearts would be open to your words today. And Father, we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. All right. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. And so what you had here is the Jews are rejecting Jesus Christ all the way through. He's had to, they're rejecting John the Baptist, rejecting Jesus Christ. And even after all those things and after all that rejection, here's Jesus saying, I thank thee, O Father, Lord in heaven, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. He's just pronounced judgment on the Jews over here. He's saying, woe unto thee, Chorazin, and woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago and in sackcloth and ashes. And so Jesus is doing all these mighty works, and they're rejecting him. And it's better for these other cities because they didn't really get all the truth that the Jews got. And so for to whom much is given, much is required. And so here's Jesus thanking God. He's not complaining, right? He's thanking the Lord, and which is a good example. He shows a good example for us when we're getting going out on the streets, people are slamming the doors in your face. When you talk to people, nobody wants to hear. We can thank the Lord, right, for showing us something. And it pleased God to do that. It pleased the Father to do that. Verse 27, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Let's go with, if you would, to Matthew 28:18. Matthew 28:18. See if that's the right one. Here's verse 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. Verse 28, here's the cross-reference to that. 28:18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All right? God the Father gave him all the power in heaven and in earth. And so it says, all things are delivered unto me. All the power is delivered unto me. That's everything is delivered unto Jesus by the Father. Now, you cannot know the Son unless the Father reveals him to you. Matthew 16:17. That's where Peter, Jesus is asking questions. Matthew 16:17, we'll start in 15. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And this is Jesus' reply. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And so, you want to know the Father? You want to know Jesus Christ? The Father has to reveal him to you. You want to know Jesus Christ? The Father has to reveal him to you. You want to know the Father? Jesus Christ has to reveal the Father to you. And you won't know either unless you repent. Repentance comes first. And so the Father reveals the Son when you receive the message, the gospel message. He'll reveal Jesus Christ to you. Same here. They're preaching the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. And if the Jew will receive that gospel, then the Father will reveal him. Right? John the Baptist came baptizing to what? To reveal the Messiah to Israel. Those that got baptized, the Father revealed Jesus Christ to them. Those that didn't, they thought he was doing stuff by Beelzebub. And they didn't think that he was who he said he was. And so, whether it's whatever message that may be, so whether it's the heavens or the firmament or preachers or prophets bringing that message, if you receive the message, then the Father will show Jesus Christ unto you. And when you reject that message, the Son isn't revealed. If you admit that you're stupid, right? We're all stupid. We wouldn't know anything if the Lord didn't bring down the Word of God from heaven and tell us and show us, right? And if you admit that you're stupid, and you'll receive whatever message the Father brings, and He'll reveal the Son to you. Now, for that Jew, they had John the Baptist preaching, and they thought he was possessed with the devil. They thought he was because he didn't hang out with them. He didn't eat with them. He wasn't friends with them. He was like a loner, and so they thought he was possessed with the devil. Then you have Jesus shows up, and he's doing signs and wonders, and they thought he was doing that those miracles by the power of Satan. Go with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 22. See what's there. All right? He was bringing signs. The Bible says, for the Jews require a sign. And so Jesus comes, he brings the signs. They reject. They thought he was doing those miracles by Satan. Those that submitted to John's preaching and Jesus' preaching had the Father and the Son revealed them to them. Right? The Son reveals the Father. John 14:9. Here's this passage, John 14:9. Father reveals the Son. We just read that in Matthew 16. Now here's Jesus revealing the Father. John 14:9. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me? Philip, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Right? So the Son reveals the Father. If you find God, you'll find Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is God. And that's how that works. If you want the Father, you have to find Jesus. You want Jesus, the Father has to reveal him to you. And so when you find Jesus, you found the Father. Because he is the Father. Verse 28. The Bible says, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Do you want to find the Father? You have to come unto Jesus. It says, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Listen, folks, if you fill a backpack up full of bricks and you put that on your back, are you going to find rest? You're not going to find rest, not until you take it off. There's people that train. They train for Mount Everest. They fill their backpacks up. You see them, you know, you see all these people sometimes walking with these sticks, with backpacks, and they fill them up with bricks. They fill them backpacks up to the point where they've got enough weight, and that's how they train to be able to go long distances. But if you take it off, you'll find rest. Everybody needs the rest that Jesus can give, whether they know it or not. Some people, they don't know. They don't know that Jesus is going to give them rest. But everybody needs it. When you come unto Jesus and trust Him for your salvation, He'll give you rest. And you don't need to try and work your way into heaven anymore. Right? That's what people are doing. They're working, trying to work their way to heaven. But when you come unto Jesus, He'll give you that rest. You don't need to work anymore. You can stop and you can sit down and you can enjoy the ride of life. And when you get to the end, you'll be with Jesus forevermore. Right? You don't have to worry about working to get yourself to heaven. Now notice there's two rests. There's one here in 28. And then there's one in 29. We'll go into that here in a little bit. Dispensationally, up until now, up until verse 28, the message has been, it's been a corporate message to the nation of Israel. And now he's starting to become personal. Why? Because the nation is rejecting him. And he sees that the nation is rejecting, and so what he's trying to do here is he's trying to find the Jews that are interested in a personal blessing, right? He's starting to get away from the corporate, and he's starting to get into the personal, and that's what Jesus is doing here. Verse 29, the Bible says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." The first time he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Right? The second time he says this, he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest." So one is something that's given, and another is something that's found. What is this yoke business? Go with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6. I have to figure some of this stuff out. We have to compare scriptures to scriptures, with scriptures. 1 Timothy 6, verse 1. The Bible says, "Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed." So this yoke business is the business of being a servant, all right? And folks, you're either a servant to sin or you're a servant to Jesus Christ. Look, if you would, to Romans. Romans 6. Romans 6. Verse 20. The Bible says, let's see. We'll go to verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered. That's the death, burial, and resurrection, right? You obey the scriptures. You believe the scriptures. That's obeying. And when you believe the gospel, you've obeyed that form of doctrine. Verse 18, "Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your member servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield yourselves member servants to righteousness, unto holiness. So it's something that has to be done. You have to yield, right? You have to yield to the servitude. For when ye were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit hath ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness. All right? And so the moment you got saved, folks, you became a servant, right? That's what the Bible says. You became a servant to God, and he freed you from the bondage of sin. That's what the Bible says. He freed you. Now, Christ's yoke, it's easy, it's light, but that doesn't mean that you're not going to do anything, right? Just because you get saved doesn't mean that you just don't do anything and now your whole life is burden-free. No, it's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches here that it's going to be light compared to sin. Sin is heavy. Righteousness, doing stuff that's right, it's lighter on you. It doesn't mean that you're not going to just sit there and do nothing. So, compared to the yoke of sin, which is heavy, Christ's yoke is light. And the sin yoke is heavy because the devil, right, he keeps piling things up on you. He keeps piling it up until the point where you fall and you're crushed. If you start carrying a big heavy object, like an acetylene bottle or an oxygen bottle on your shoulder, and you fall, you're going to be hurt. That thing's going to crush, that heavy object's going to crush you. And same thing with sin. Sin is heavy, it's heavy, it's heavy. And for the unsaved, they've got the weight of the devil on them, they got the weight of sin on them, and if they fall and they don't trust Jesus Christ, they're going to be crushed, folks. They'll be crushed. Jesus, he'll never put more on you than you can handle. But we being saved individuals, right? Sometimes we put more on ourselves than Christ had ever intended for us to put on ourselves. And Christ never puts on more than you can handle, but you may put on more than you can handle, right? By not obeying the word of God, by not following his leading, by doing what you want to do. And so you can cause things in your life to be more burdensome than Jesus ever had intended for you. But he'll never do that. He'll never put more on you than you can handle. He's already promised through his scriptures, through his words, that his burden's light when you take his yoke. I don't even know what that is. I can't read my notes. Anyway, what does that say? Anyway, when you put on Christ's yoke, you'll start to learn. And what you're going to learn from Jesus, and you're going to learn from him, and you're going to learn about him. Go back, if you would, to Matthew. Matthew 11, verse 29. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me. Right? The words of and for are two of the hardest words in the scriptures to figure out, folks. And when you're careful, when you come across those words, the Bible says be careful for nothing, right? So let's look at a different word maybe. When you don't take light of the word of and for in the scriptures, and you And you start to really look at that word and start asking yourself questions. What does this mean? What does that mean? You'll start to figure out some things about the Bible, and you'll start having the right interpretations of some of the passages that are in the Bible. In this particular case, the word of could mean from, right? Learn of me, learn from me, learn about me, right? Could mean both meanings. What did Paul do? He went up on a mountain and learned from Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ taught him, right? You could be taught of Jesus Christ in his words. And you can learn about Jesus Christ in his words. It says, learn of me. Go if you would, go with me if you would to Philippians 2:5. Philippians 2:5. This is how we start to figure out some things about Jesus. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. What's he talking about? Yoke, right? Taking his yoke. And this is what Jesus Christ did. He took upon himself, upon him, the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashionness as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. Why? He humbled himself. If you humble yourself, you'll be exalted. Look at John. He humbled himself, right? Said he wasn't worthy to latch the shoes of Jesus Christ. And when John was in jail and he was wondering about some things in the scriptures, Jesus Christ exalts him in front of the whole multitude. And so Jesus wasn't proud. And so anybody that wants to take Christ's yoke has to be humble. Look at what Paul did. 1 Corinthians. This is what Paul did. 1 Corinthians 9:19. 9:19. The Bible says, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. That's what he's talking about when he's saying gain the more. He's not talking about personal gain. He's talking about getting these people to Jesus, right? His gain, not his own. This is what he said. I made myself servant unto all that I might gain the more. Watch. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. See, he's trying to get people to Jesus Christ, to them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. He's trying to get those people that think they're under the law, right? Get them to Jesus so they're not under the law anymore. And so he wouldn't condemn these people, but he would try to get them to Jesus Christ. To them that are without the law, as without the law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law, right? To the weak, became I as weak. So Paul became a servant. Why? To get people to Jesus. And Jesus became a servant. Why? To get people to God. God the Father. So that they could be reconciled. And that's what he's talking about here. He's talking about getting taking the yoke of Jesus Christ. And so we see that just as getting saved is a choice, becoming a servant of Christ is a choice. It's a choice that we have to make. To be a servant to others, right? For Christ's sake. That's our choice. We don't have to do that. We can sit and do nothing. But if you become a servant for Christ, what does he promise you? That you will find rest. You'll find rest. What if we don't take their yoke? No rest. No rest. The reason why most Christians, they won't take that yoke is because it's connected, folks, with being meek, and it's connected with being lowly in heart. Go back, if you would, to Matthew 11. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And that's how Jesus Christ was. Are we meek and lowly in heart? Most people don't want to serve because they're too proud. They're too proud. Folks, meekness is a quality that what you do is you help others no matter what their position in life is, right? No matter what they're doing to you, you're willing to help others. No matter if they're, a publican or sinner? It's a high statue in life, low statue in life. That's what Jesus did. He came and he ate with publicans and sinners. All right? And so that's that quality. Meekness is that you'll eat with the publicans, that you'll eat with sinners, that you're not partial because of somebody's status in life. Lowly in heart. Let's look at Psalms 51:17. It's we all know the verse, maybe not by heart, but when you read it, you'll go, yeah, I remember that one. Psalms 51:17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. What did Jesus have? He was lowly in heart. He was in meekness. He came in meekness and lowly of heart. It's that your heart will suffer, folks, because of the conditions of people. Jesus was lowly in heart, not of his own sins, right? And you'll get this in a couple seconds, but he was lowly in heart, not of his own sins. But he was lowly in heart because of the sins of others. And that the sins of others that had brought about their heavy laden condition. He's looking at the Jews. He's talking to the Jews, right? In Matthew 11. He saw how sin was keeping those people, that nation, from the blessings of God and how it was destroying them. And so what does he do? Comes out of his throne from heaven. In meekness and in lowly in heart. Jesus is looking at a nation of people that God is going to destroy if they don't listen to him. He's going to destroy them. They're going to get destroyed in the tribulation. There'll be a remnant, but that nation will be, it'll have to die. Folks, after Calvary, if you've trusted in Jesus Christ, after Calvary, and if you trust him for what he's done for you, you don't have to deal with your own sins anymore. They've already been dealt with, right? And so we have to understand that we're not going to hell. But there are others that have not trusted in Christ that are going to hell. And that's why we're to take on Christ's yoke. Jesus saw not his own sins, and we shouldn't be looking at our own sins. Our sins are forgiven. They're washed away. They're forever forgone. We never have them again, even while we're doing them. But the other people's sins that they never trusted in Jesus Christ, those sins are the ones that we should be lowly in heart for. Why? Because there's a cure there. And Jesus is the cure. All they have to do is receive Him. And so we tell people about Jesus Christ. Become a servant of, take on Christ's yoke and tell people about Jesus. And we don't have to worry about our own souls. We can bear somebody else's burden because we don't have that burden anymore. And that gives us, we have, our backs are, you know, the load's off. And so, Jesus Christ's yoke is light. We'll find rest. His burden's light. We bear the sins of other people's, right? We bear their burdens to get them to Christ. And that's how we do that. And so this is the idea, that when you learn of Christ, you'll find that His yoke is easy because yours has been lifted. And you can now be that servant to try to win others to Christ, and that yoke is light. And you can go through this life wherever you go and have that burden. You don't have to be a missionary. You can be a missionary right here, wherever you're at. You don't have to go to some specific place. Jesus never names a specific place to go. He just says go. He never tells you where. So that tells me, anywhere you are in life, you can help somebody else. You can have that yoke. You can have that yoke of Christ, and you can try to win somebody to Jesus. Okay, and we're going to go ahead and stop there. We got through. Let's see, we got one more verse there? Hold on. Yeah, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And we'll go ahead and stop there and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your teachings. And Lord, that word of is an amazing word, Lord. And we not only can learn from you, but we can learn about you. And we can learn from you as you're teaching us your words, and we can learn about you in your words at the same exact time. What an amazing thing. And Father, we pray now that you would just we would just go out and try to win others to you, Lord, and do our part and take on that yoke. You took on a yoke, you became a servant, and you showed us that we can do the same. And we pray that we would. And we pray that you would bless the messages today, the nursing home. And we pray for those dear folks there, Lord, that you would just continue to bless them. And what a bunch of faithful people over there, Lord. That's amazing. But anyway, we pray that you bless the preaching and teaching of your words today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.